Welcome back, one and all, to Hoppy Easter with Chip and Eric and friends. And Allison is one of our friends. That's the name of the podcast. Yeah. Hoppy Easter, everyone. I finally get it. It's because the weekend is coming and we're like hopping into it.
Yeah, that's why.
Did I get it?
I don't know anymore. I don't know what it means.
I don't know. Yeah.
I do need to have a talk with you and Chip.
Oh, boy.
It's very important.
Oh, gosh.
All I'm saying.
Did the police call you?
Yeah. Well, basically, like, yeah, all I'm saying is if you guys are going to take the hot air balloon out.
Okay.
You cannot park it. You cannot park it in town, like right by the church, just wherever you land and get out and go about your business. Because then I get a call from the city saying, hey, you can't park a hot air balloon in the city. And it's registered in my name.
We didn't know that. First of all, the contract to borrow the hot air balloon was written on a napkin, and it just simply said, you can borrow the hot air balloon, and then you signed it. Like, you didn't give us any instructions. I didn't even know. We accidentally climbed, like, way higher than any hot air balloon could climb until the air was so thin that we just passed out and slowly came back down to the earth.
It's not true, because I heard you on the podcast say, we're landing. Oh,
that's when we finally figured it out. Mm-hmm. That was after days.
Well, but you were conscious when the balloon hit the ground, and what I'm saying is it has to be parked like in the country.
I appreciate you giving me this insight. I don't appreciate you being a Monday morning quarterback coming in and telling me way after the fact and in front of all these people.
Well,
that I would consider my dear friends. Each and every one of the listeners today and forevermore, whoever listens to this podcast ever, is a dear friend of mine.
972 of my closest personal friends
That's
are
right.
listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that if you guys are going to take it out, park it somewhere. Maybe we need a landing. Maybe we need hot air balloon parking spot.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I am very, very comfortable blaming Chip.
Okay.
It was Chip.
Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of blaming Chip, today's day 86.
Sure is.
We're reading Joshua 19 through 20 and 2 Peter 2.
Sure is. We sure is.
We sure is.
Hey, I know you guys probably aren't sick of hearing all these little towns. And
so we have some towns for you.
You know what's nice to see? Simeon gets a little land.
It
he gets no blessing. He gets some land. Sure do. All right. Joshua chapter 19. The land given to Simeon. The second allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Simeon. Their homeland was surrounded by Judah's territory. Simeon's homeland included Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar Shul, Bala, Ezem, El Tolad, Bethul, Horma, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susa, Beth Lebaoth, Sharuhin, 13 towns with their surrounding villages. It also included Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashan, 4 towns with their surrounding villages, including all the surrounding villages as far south as Baalath Beer, also known as Ramah of the Negev. This was the allocated homeland of the tribe of Simeon. Their allocation of land came from part of what had been given to Judah because Judah's territory was too large for them. So the tribe of Simeon received an allocation within the territory of Judah.
The land given to Zebulun. The third allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun. The boundary of Zebulun's homeland started at Sered. From there, it went west, going past Marilla, touching Debesheth, and proceeding to the brook east of Jokneam. In the other direction, the boundary went east from Sered to the border of Kisloth Tabor, and from there to Dabereth and up to Japhia. Then it continued east to Gath Hefer, Eth Kazin, and Rimmon, and turned north toward Nea. The northern boundary of Zebulun passed Hanathon and ended at the valley of Iphtael. The towns of these areas included Kataph, Nahalel, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun included these towns and their surrounding villages.
The land given to Issachar. The fourth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Issachar. Its boundaries included the following towns: Jezreel, Kesuloth, Shunem, Hapharaim, Shion, Anaharath, Ribbeth, Kishion, Ebez, Remeth, En Ganim, and Hadah, and Beth Pazez. The boundary also touched Tabor, Shahazuma, and Beth Shemesh, ending at the Jordan River, 16 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Issachar included these towns and their surrounding villages.
The land given to Asher. The fifth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Asher. Its boundaries included these towns: Helketh, Hili, Beten, Akshaph, Alamelech, Amad, and Mishael. The boundary on the west touched Carmel and Shihor Libnath, and then it turned east toward Beth Dagon and ran as far as Zebulun in the valley of Iftahel, going north to Beth Emek and Nael. Then it continued north to Kabul, Abdon, Rahab, Haman, Cana, and as far as Greater Sidon. Then the boundary turned toward Ramah and the fortress of Tyre, where it turned toward Hosa and came to the Mediterranean Sea. The territory also included Mehebel, Akzib, Uma, Ephek, and Rehob, 22 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Asher included these towns and their surrounding villages.
The land given to Naphtali. The sixth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Naphtali. Its boundary ran from Heleph, from the oak at Zananim, and extended across to Adami Nekeb, Jabneel, and as far as Lakum, ending at the Jordan River. The western boundary ran past Asnoth Tabor, then to Hukok, and touched the border of Zebulun in the south, the border of Asher in the west, and the Jordan River on the east. The fortified towns included in this territory were Zedim, Zer, Hamath, Rakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Rama, Hazor, Kadesh, Edrei, and Hazor, Yiron, Migdal El, Horem, Beth Anath, and Beth Shemesh, 19 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Naphtali included these towns and their surrounding villages.
The land given to Dan. The seventh allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Dan. The land allocated as their homeland included the following towns: Zora, Eshtaol, Ir Shemesh, Shelabin, Ijalan, Ilthla, Elin, Timnah, Ekron, Eltika, Gibbethon, Baleth, Jehud, Bene Barak, Gath Rimmon, Med Jarkon, Rakon, and the territory across from Joppa. But the tribe of Dan had trouble taking possession of their land, so they attacked the town of Laish. They captured it, slaughtered its people, and settled there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Dan included these towns and their surrounding villages.
The land given to Joshua. After all the land was divided among the tribes, the Israelites gave a piece of land to Joshua as his allocation, for the Lord had said he could have any town he wanted. He chose Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim. He rebuilt the town and lived there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the tribal leaders allocated as grants of land to the tribes of Israel by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle at Shiloh. So the division of the land was completed.
The cities of refuge. The Lord said to Joshua, Joshua chapter 20. The Lord said to Joshua, "Now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed Moses. Anyone who kills another person accidentally and unintentionally can run to one of these cities. They will be places of refuge from relatives seeking revenge for the person who was killed. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the death will appear before the elders at the city gate and present his case. They must allow him to enter the city and give him a place to live among them. If the relatives of the victim come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the slayer to them, for he killed the other person unintentionally and without previous hostility. But the slayer must stay in that city to be tried by the local assembly, which will render a judgment. And he must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest who was in office at the time of the accident. After that, he is free to return to his own home in the town from which he fled." The following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, on the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated: Bezer in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the land of the tribe of Manasseh. These cities were set apart for all the Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. Anyone who accidentally killed another person could take refuge in one of these cities. In this way, they could escape being killed and revenge prior standing trial. In this way, they could escape being killed in revenge prior to standing trial before the local assembly.
Okay, off we go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh boy. The danger of false teachers. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, in gloomy pits of darkness, where they were being held until the day of judgment. And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment, so God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. But the angels, who are far greater in power and strength, do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings.
These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well-trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off the right road and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when the donkey rebuked him with a human voice. These people are as useless as dried-up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they're worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness, then known it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb: a dog returns to its vomit. Another says, a washed pig returns to the mud.
And that is our reading today. And what a reading it was.
Yes, it was.
Two towns of note.
Yes.
Well, actually, two things of note. One, Simeon's allotment was an afterthought, and I love that. So Simeon, the worst son.
Simeon.
Yeah. Also, I would like to go on a trip with my wife. Mm-hmm. To the town of Hanathon.
Hanathon.
You know?
Hanathon.
That's what we would call the vacation as well, the Hanathon.
Oh, do you?
That's what we would call it if we went to Hanathon.
Yeah, this is a Hanathon.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd be like, hey, let's go on a Hanathon.
Yeah, that's you should go there.
Or maybe at the end of the year, we could make a supercut of all 26 Saturdays that Hannah read, and we'll put it out there as like a, Hanathon? You know, how long would that be, like 8-hour? Mm-hmm. thing, and we could call it the Hanathon. Mm-hmm. And we'll give a prize to whoever listens to it.
All the way through.
The prize is listening to my wife for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. That's the prize you get.
We could come up with like a Hanathon scavenger hunt that they would have to answer.
Oh, yeah.
To prove that they listened to it all the way through.
That's right.
Like, you have to answer this one question.
Actually, I think we should just take them in front of the temple with the Urim and the Thummim and decide if they're telling the truth.
Okay.
We can make them drink that water that makes them sick if they're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hanathon it is. Yep. It's on. And if you're listening today, you've automatically consented to being part of it.
You signed up.
Yep. Hey, so we read that with two questions in mind today. We want to know, how does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? And so I ask you, Ali-san.
I'm going to go with, how does this help me love God more?
Okay.
So I thought it was interesting that we went straight from reading about the cities of refuge, and then we went into 2 Peter, and we're reading about how God punishes sin while sparing or saving those who the righteous, or the hearts mm-hmm. in the right place, mm-hmm. essentially, right? Which is the whole setup of the cities of refuge, right? Like, you did not intend to hurt anybody, but that's what happened. Yeah. And God made a way to see to it that you didn't have to pay for something that you didn't do intentionally, mm-hmm. that you didn't mean to hurt somebody. That wasn't in your heart to hurt them. So he didn't want those people to be killed in revenge, right? Same here. Like, when it talks about God, you know, spared Sodom. I mean, not Sodom, Lot, out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And it says, so you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. So we kind of see this parallel there of, you know, this characteristic of God, that he wants sin must be punished and wickedness will be punished. And all, but there's in his heart to look at the heart of man, you know, where is their good? In the heart, or turn to me, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I'm not explaining that very well. Unintentional murder, an accident. You didn't want to hurt anybody, right? So he's like, here, I'm going to make a way.
Yeah.
Same thing in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a way for those of you who will, you know, I'm a sinner. I do what I shouldn't, don't want to do.
Right.
I still do the things I don't, you know, the things I don't want to do, I do. And, you mm-hmm. know, please forgive me. God makes a way.
Right. And none of the people that Peter talks about here were perfect, right?
Yeah, Lot.
Noah, not perfect. Lot, definitely not perfect, right? So I just think perfection's not the level,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I love that. I do love that about God, mm-hmm. that he frees us up
mm-hmm.
from... what we, you know, a justifiable punishment.
Yes.
You know, how this helps me love others more. I read the Bible out loud every day and give takeaways from the scriptures and a weekly video, and 5 days a week I'm teaching teenagers the Bible, mm-hmm. and every Sunday I'm preaching a sermon. I can love others more by, and like, it's never my, like, right now as I sit here and, you know, I pray that this is it until the day I die. I would rather die than this change. I have no intention of ever changing the truth of Scripture in the way that I speak, ever. Lots of people have said that or intended that and have gone the wrong way. So I do understand the idea of being very careful and just aware of the fact that false teaching creeps in. But I can love others better by being triple, quadruple, quintuple, over and over and over again, careful when I open the Word of God and start teaching from it, mm-hmm. that I'm making sure that I'm teaching what's true,
mm-hmm.
and accurately interpreting it and helping people apply it in their lives. I can be, you know, and to a point, all of us have this responsibility, right? So you, as a person who reads the Bible every day, you have this ability to tell people what it says, and it's your responsibility to do that with truth.
Yes.
Because, you know, what's it say? They brag about, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. for your slave to whatever controls you. And people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again. They're worse off than before. And he says that's their fault. That's what they do. They cause that to happen. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from lifestyle deception. And so I just think, man, as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, as a Christian podcaster, there is a lot of responsibility there. But also as a friend, as a parent, as potentially a leader in your own church, I mean, there's just all these opportunities to share what the Bible says. And it is your responsibility to know what it says enough. And also to not be silent when somebody says, well, the Bible says this, you know, mm-hmm. you have a responsibility there to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to confront every false teacher. I don't think that's everyone's job. But you, if somebody makes a false claim about the Bible right to you, you can say, well, let's talk that through. So there's a responsibility there too. But that's how we can help love others more, protect the truth for other people,
mm-hmm.
and be people who speak the truth.
Love it.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Man, the false teachers thing, man, boy, doesn't that sound like multiple churches that I could name right here if it wasn't inappropriate on the podcast to put churches on blast. But boy, let me tell you, everyone, I'm tempted. I got to tell you, I'm tempted. But I won't. Not today.
I won't.
Not today. Although that, so like, this is a little side note. Like when I preach and false teaching comes up and I'll kind of allude to things, that is wearing very thin to me. Like I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm just going to start naming people. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm all right with it. And it may happen on the podcast here sometime in the next 7 years. I can't guarantee it won't. So.
Well, there's 7 whole years.
Yeah. Yep. If you go back and listen to the first letter of every podcast that we've done so far, it has. I've done that. I lined it up.
You lined it up so that.
Yeah. And since most of them start with welcome back, it's the false teacher is. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Well, okay.
Proud of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thankful for everyone. And if it's your first time with us, welcome.
Yes.
Proud of you.
We are proud of you. It's so exciting to have you with us.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a great day.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got to finish the podcast, though. Have a great day, everyone.